Today she is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin in Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah on top of the Amid. The Gemara continues discussing the halachas that apply to a Jewish king. The Torah says, "La'yer b'lay noshim." A king is not allowed to have too many wives. So the Mishnah says, "What is considered too many wives?" El Shemen Esrei, 18 wives. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Marbu hu loy, he may have more than 18 wives. Uvachloi mesiris asliboy. Rav Shimon Aimer, afila ach, as long as they don't turn him away from Hashem. Rav Shimon Aimer, afila ach, mesiris asliboy. One wife who takes him away, hareze lo yusena. He should not marry such a woman. Asks Rav Shimon, imke lama nemela yerbele noshim, that he should have too many. Says Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon's opinion, a fila Avigail, even if he has a wife as great as Avigail, who's a big tzaddikus, still there's a max of 18. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah begins with the opinion of the Tanakhama that says, "La'yibrei Noshim El Shemana Esrei," he should not have more than 18 wives. And now, then the Mishnah quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. So Rishonim debate how to understand what Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon are doing. Some Rishonim explain that Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon are debating what is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even though the Tanakhama says there's a maximum of 18 wives, that's only if they're not the women who may sway him from Hashem. But if they're good women, he can have more than 18. Where Rav Shimon says, you have to have, that the maximum is 18. That's one way of understanding the Mishnah. But another way of understanding the Mishnah is that there are actually three opinions in our Mishnah. Tanakhama says the number is 18, period. Rabbi Yehuda says that the number is not 18. You could have more as long as they don't sway him from God. And Rav Shimon says you could have only 18, but they have to be 18 good women. Actually, as the Yad Ramah explains, this machlokes on how to understand our Mishnah is really based on another question. Because the Yad Ramah, in his understanding of the Mishnah, says it's inconceivable that we should have a situation where a woman who Rachman Tzlan is known to be not a good woman, known to be a woman that will sway her husband from God, should be accepted and as a wife for a king. And therefore, such a woman, according to Yad Ramah, is not under discussion. Our Mishnah only speaks about good women and women who we don't know. According to that explanation, Rav Yehuda and Shimon are debating what the Tanakhama says. However, we follow the other opinion that doesn't make these categories, then we will have to learn that the Mishnah represents three distinct opinions. Ask the Gemara. Based on the way we just understood the Mishnah, Lememra, Rabbi Yehuda Darsh Tam Dekra, Rabbi Yehuda follows and tries to understand what is shot at a mitzvah. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that the reason the Torah says a king shouldn't marry too many women is because they may sway him from God. And therefore, where you don't have that concern, he can marry as many wives as he wants. Whereas Rav Shimon doesn't follow such an approach. And he loved Darsh Tam Dekra. And he says, if the Torah says, La'yir b'lay noshim, he's not going to marry more than 18 under any circumstances. Ask the Gemara, but we see that the opinion of Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon regarding trying to understand, and when the Torah says a mitzvah, do we try to understand the reasoning for the mitzvah? They have just the opposite opinions, the Tanya. The Torah says that if somebody takes security, somebody lends somebody money or something, and he takes security from that individual, so the halacha is if you take something that this person needs every day, you have the obligation to make sure that he has it back every day. If you take something he needs every night, you take his bedding, you have to make sure he gets it back every night. The Torah says, "Lo'sachbel begramona." We can't take the clothing the bedding, so to speak, or the clothing of a poor almana, of an almana. So now, in understanding that din that the Torah says, the Tanya, the Brisa says, almana ben shenir ben sheshira, it makes no difference if the widow is wealthy or poor, eimah mashkenasa. We're not allowed to take from her security. Shenema loisachba beged almana de Rabbi Yehuda. The Torah says loisachba beged almana. Says Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't make a difference what her financial status is. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says ashira, if she's a wealthy woman, mashkenasa, we can't take security from her. Ania, eimah mashkenasa. A poor woman, we can't take security for her. Why? Because at the chayv lachsala, since she's a poor person, and you have to keep on giving back this security every day or every night, and it'll turn into being a situation that this man will be frequenting the home of the amana. At the Messiah Shem Ram b'shchinaseha, Ramin, as we just said, my kama. What is Reb Shimon saying? Hachi kama. If you take the security from this poor woman at the chayiv lachsala, if it's an item that she has to have every day or every night, you're going to have to return it every day or every night. And by doing that, at the Messiah Shem Rav Shchinaseh, she'll get a bad reputation because men are visiting her on a regular basis. So what do we see, says the Gemara? Alma, just the opposite of what we find in our Mishnah. Where our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda starts to explain the reasoning for a mitzvah. Here, Rabbi Yehuda loy darsh tam dekra. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Torah says, loy sachbo beged almana. It's not our job to understand why. And Rabbi Shimon, on the opposite side, darsh tam dekra. And he starts explaining that loy sachbo beged almana. But it's only because she's going to get a bad reputation. And therefore, where there is no bad reputation to be concerned about, you're allowed to take the security. That's where, if she's wealthy, you don't have to worry about it. There's a question in the Paiskim, how do we understand this halacha? The Torah speaks about almana. What about halacha basula, single girl? She's not an almana. What about halacha by grusha? Again, it could well be that in that way, Rav Shimon will be more machman than Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda says, I just look at what the Torah says. The Torah says, l'sechba beged almana. Rav Shimon is explaining the reasoning that we don't want to have a situation where a man is frequenting our home, frequenting the home of a single woman. So if so, it'll be a nafkamina. We shouldn't make a nafkamina if she's an almana or a grusha or a psula. Another question will come up is as follows. Let's say the item that you take as security from the almana is an item that she's a poor woman, but it's an item she doesn't need on a regular basis. Let's say she has a silver cup, a becher. According to Yehuda, the Torah says, l'sach b'beger almana. Doesn't make a difference. According to Shimon, with entire concern is that you're frequenting her home. Here you have no reason to frequent her home. She doesn't need it every day. And therefore, maybe it would be mutter. It's interesting. Here we see that the Torah is concerned that the almana, that if you'll come to her home, she'll get a bad reputation. So from here we see, till when is she considered almana? As long as she's not married. The question comes up, I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses this question. The Torah says, Kalamana v'yosim leisanim, that when we have a prohibition, we have to be careful with the feelings of an almana. Until when is a woman considered an almana? If a woman gets remarried, she's still an almana? She's already married. So he says a very interesting psak. He says, as far as the world is concerned, as far as all of us are concerned, a woman, once she's remarried, she's not an almana anymore. But for her second husband, she's always an almana. Because she once experienced this, and she's more sensitive than the average woman, and she will, towards her husband, her second husband, always remain an almana. Interesting psak. But again, back to our Gemara. To be over the laugh. Back to our question. In our Mishnah, we find Rabbi Yehuda is giving explanations for a din in the Torah, and Rabbi Shimon isn't. And in this halacha, we find just the opposite. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda typically loy darsh tam dekra. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we don't try to give explanations for halachas in the Torah. However, this situation with the king marrying too many women. Shani hocha, the farsh tam dekor. The Torah itself gives the reasoning. Because the Torah says, ma tam lo yarba lo nashim, mishim de lo yasul vavai. Where the Torah gives the reason, it's not the same as everywhere else. Rav Shimon Amalach, how would Rav Shimon explain his position? Michti. Rav Shimon says, let's understand. Be'amadarish tam dekor. Rav Shimon says, I always give explanation for the mitzvahs. So in this case, im kain licht of krol lo yirba lo nashim. The Torah should have just written the words la'yibalay nishim, v'lishtoik, and not say any more. V'ana, meaning I on my own will explain, ma'tam la'yarba, why may a king not marry too many women, mishim de la'yasar, because we're concerned if he marries too many women, they may sway him from God. So la'yasar la'mali, why did the Torah have to go out of the way to say la'yasar, to teach us the following? Afila achas, even one woman, if she is such a woman, who is mysterious liba, who takes him away from Hashem, Harez lo yusana, he may not marry her. Almanim kaim lo yarba. So what is the pasuk lo yarba coming to teach us? That filu, even if he has wives like Avigail, who is a great tzedekis, 18 and no more. So now ask the Gemara. We spoke in the Mishnah, and that's now in the Gemara, about the number 18. Where does the number 18 come from? Ask the Gemara, Hanishman Asr Menolon. The Ksiv, for Yivoldu David Bonim Bechevron. David had children in Chevron. For he Bechori Amnom Lachi Noyam HaYisraelis. Or Mishnei Kelev Lavigail Eishes Novel HaKarmeli. Because Avigail was married previously to Novel HaKarmeli. Veshlishis Avshalom Bamacho. Harvi Adinoye Ben Chagis. Chemish Shaftai Ben Avital. Vashish Yisram Leeglo Eishes David. Elu Yod L'David B'chevron. These were the wives and the children that David HaMelech had in Chevron, as we discussed in the previous year, prior to his arriving to Yerushalayim. Actually, as the Mashar points out, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting is a pasuk that after the episode between David and Bathsheba, Nathan HaNavi comes to speak to him and say, why did you have to take Bathsheba as a wife, Uriachita's wife, you have all these wives and children. So actually, it turns out that he had seven. So Masha says we can't consider Bathsheba as one of the women because Bathsheba, the Navi was telling him he did the wrong thing. So we only consider the six that the Navi was satisfied. The Kamalei Navi, and the Navi says to David HaMelech, Imat, if this isn't enough wives for you, for Seifalach Kahena v'Kahena. He already had six, kahena shit, so it says the word kahena twice, the kahena shit afterwards, which equals another 12 plus 6, tavli tamni, sorry, and that's how we get to the number of 18. Ask the mefarshim, but we explained in our Mishnah, according to Yehuda, he doesn't subscribe to the number 18. So what's he going to do with this pasuk? So the mefarshim answered that this pasuk isn't an explicit pasuk that teaches us this thing, and therefore he doesn't follow this limud. Says the Gemara, if we're learning from this pasuk, mask la ravino, ema kahena tanti, sorry. Maybe we should say that six, it starts with six. Then the pasuk says kahena is another six. The second kahena should be not six, but should be 12, which would add up to esrim v'arba, which would be that he should have 24 wives. Says the Gemara, indeed, Tanya Nami Hochi, there is an opinion, that he's allowed to have 24 wives. So now I ask the Gemara a different question. The Pasuk says, Kehena u'kehena. So the man, the Dor Shvav, according to the Mandama who throughout Shas, says when the Torah uses the letter Vav, it's to teach us to add, why should we not say that he's allowed to have Abom v'shmon hava? We'll say like this. Kehena, the first Kehena is 6, on top of the original 6, which gives us 12. The Vav u'kehena is another 12, is 24. Then the Hena will be 24 plus 24, equal to 48. And says the Gemara, indeed, Tanya Nami Hochi, lo yabloi noshim, yoysum Abom v'shmon. It's 48. V'tana didon, that doesn't learn this way, my tama, he says, Amrav Kehena, Makish Kehena Basra, Lekehena Kama. He compares the two times the Torah uses the word kahena. Ma kahena kama, everybody is agreeable, equals to six women. Af kahena basra, shit. Ask the Gemara, we quoted a pasuk that had David HaMelech married to six women in Chevron, and that becomes the basis of how many more wives he may take. But we know he had one more wife, Michal. We spoke earlier in the week about him marrying to Shaul's daughter Michal, for having Michal. Amar Rav, one of the women mentioned that pasuk is Egla, and Egla is Zumichal. V'lama nikra shema Egla, why was Michal called Egla? She chaviva loved to Egla. David HaMelech loved her like a calf. In Yiddish, sometimes as a term of endearment, a husband would call his wife a lemela. That's where it comes from. V'kein u'aymer, where do we see a beloved wife is called an Egla? Lulei chrashtem beglossi. There's a pasuk by Shimshon. By Shimshon, Shimshon had posed a riddle to the Pelishtim, which they couldn't answer. So they forced Shimshon's wife to get the answer for them. So Shimshon says to them, I know how you got the answer. Kulule chrashtem beglossi. You started up with my wife. That's how you got the answer. So you see that a wife is called Egla. Ask the Gemara, but the pasuk says that Michal had a son. Ask the Gemara, Umi hava l'michal b'ni, did Michal have children? V'ksiv, u'l'michal b'ashol, lo'y ha'yolo v'lad, ad yoy ma'isa. She didn't have children, the Gemara will say soon why. Amar Rav Chisda, says Rav Chisda, the way to understand that pasuk is as follows. Ad yoy ma'isa lo'y ha'yolo, until the day she passed away, she indeed did not have children. However, yoy ma'isa ha'yolo, on day of a death, in childbirth, she had a child. That's how Rav Chisda explains the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain the Pesukim that way? Michti, Banam Hechak HaChashalu, where's the Pasuk saying this list of wives and children? Bechevron. When David HaMelech was yet still in Chevron. Vila Maisa de Michal, the episode with Michal, for which she was punished, that she should not have children, only happened later, where Yerushalayim have her, when David HaMelech arrived to Yerushalayim. As the pasuk says, and this was the reason that Michal was cursed not to have children, because a Michal Bashol nishkav b'adachaloin, Michal Bashol looks out the window, but Tera es Hamelech David befazveis mekarkel lifnei Hashem. They brought the Ark into Yerushalayim, and David was dancing with a lot of energy in the street for the Kavod HaTorah, the Tivez, and she felt it was inappropriate for a king to act that way. Vama. Rav Yehuda, Vitamer Rav Yosef, Shaklusa Michal Lemitrifasa. She got punished for that attitude. So, how do we say that that's when afterwards she had children? Ela Ema, says the Gemara, the way to understand is just the opposite. At Oisamaisa Hoyolo, until the episode in Yerushalayim, where she acted inappropriately, she had the wrong attitude to what David was doing, she had children. Only after David came to Yerushalayim and this act of the dancing that she didn't approve of, at that point, became ve'eloch lehayolah. Ask the Gemara, and this is the way the Mashah explains the Gemara's question. There's a pasuk prior to the pasukim that was quoted earlier that says ve'ikach David oy plakshim v'nashim Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is asking, it seems, that besides those women that are listed and children that are listed in that pasuk, David HaMelech had more wives. So why are we saying that he started with six and now the Navi is telling him you can add another 12? And says the Gemara that even though that pasuk appears prior to the pasuk that's mentioned, that pasuk is not to be understood that way. But that pasuk is Ein Mugdim Mucha B'Torah. The pasuk is teaching us that he had these six wives, and the Navi says he could have taken more wives, up to the 18. So the pasuk mentions Noshim and Pilakshim. Ask the Gemara, my Noshim and my Pilakshim. Amar Yehuda Merav, Noshim b'ksuba kedushin, a full-fledged wife has a ksuba and has kedushin. Pilakshim b'loy ksuba b'loy kedushin. Pilakshim don't have a ksuba nor kedushin. which actually is a machloikis, how to understand what the proper girsa in our Gemara is. The girsa in our Gemara is plakshin belaik suba belaik kedushin. But there's another girsa that plakshin belaik suba, but they have kedushin, which is really the basis for another machloikis rishonim, which we're going to encounter a number of times in our coming shiurim. A machloikis Rambam and Ravid. We're learning that a king can't have more than 18 wives. When we speak about a king not having more than 18 wives, are the palakshim in the count or not? Which is really connected to the other machlokes. The Rambam is of the opinion that palakshim are the number 18. Why? Because according to the Rambam, palakshim have to have kedushin. They have to have kedushin, so obviously they're part of the count of 18. The Ravid says that the palakshim are not in the count of 18, because he probably holds that they're not required to have kedushim, they're not considered wives, and they're not in the count. Furthermore, the Gra explains, where does the name Pilakshim come from? It says a wonderful word. He says, we know that the Gemara says, Ish v'isha shechina shrui b'neim. A husband and wife, the shechina rests between them. Where? Because if you take the name, the word Ish, it's Aleph Yud Shin. Take the word Isha, it's Alf Shin Hei. So the Alf and Shin are common for the husband and wife. What are the unique letters in these names? The Yud and the Hei. But the Yud and the Hei is only a half a name. You know the name of Hashem is Yud Kei, Vav Kei. He only have the Yud Kei. Where do you get the Vav Kei? Ksuba. Ksuba represents Kosav Vav Hei. Through the Ksuba, we get the missing Vav Hei. So a couple between the Ish and the Isha and the Ksuba, we have the whole name of Hashem, Yud Kei, Vav Kei. But a Pelegish, everybody agrees, doesn't have a Ksuba. So she's Peleg Pelakshim, she's Peleg Shen. She only has half of Hashem's name, the Yud Kei, not the Vav Kei. Amar Yud Amar Rav. Before we begin the next piece of the Gemara, we need to review a parasha in the Torah. The parasha at the beginning of Kisetze speaks about the parasha Bifas Toya, which is when Klal Yisrael went out to war, the Goyim would have their girls, their women, dress up and go out to seduce the soldiers. And the Torah speaks about the parasha Bifas Toya, that if a Jewish soldier goes out to war, and he sees a woman, the cheshakdaba, and he desires that woman. The Torah says an entire procedure that should be followed, how that woman can be taken to the Jewish man's home. The Torah says that she's brought into the house, yerech yomim for a month, she has to let her hair grow, she has to let her nails grow, or bachsa aviv v'ima. And here we have a very big machlokes rishonim, machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, actually in the Yerushalmi, it's a machloikas amaroim of Rav and Shmuel. According to Rashi, the Jewish soldier may not have relations with this woman until the entire procedure is done. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says that the entire point of the parasha Yifas Toyer, like Dibber Toyer El Kenegi Yetzahara, and if the man's going to have to wait till all of this takes place, you haven't accomplished anything. So Rabbeinu Tam says that the first Bia may be done before the procedure. If he wants to keep her, at that point, he has to go through this procedure. Says the Gemara, Amar Yud Amar Rav, Abba Meis Yeladim Hayu Lila David. David HaMelech had 400 children that were all B'nai Yifas Tayr Hayu. Or Megadli B'lur Yishayu. The Torah says, U'b'chukaseim L'Yisaleichu, we can't act like the Goyim. The Goyim would typically let their hair grow in the back. For Kulam Yosh Mekronish Azov, they would all sit in gold chariots. Or Behalchem Barashi Geisus Hayu, they would go lead in the battle. For Hema Yubale Greif and Shabbos David, they were the strong people in David's army. This Gemara is a very complicated Gemara. Certainly, according to Rashi's opinion, that a Yifas Toyer's children, you're not allowed to have relations with the Yifas Toyer until she goes through the entire procedure, and Mizgayer, so these were regular Jewish children. So how could the Pasuk say that they were glad to be godly blurious and they weren't considered Jewish? They were regular Jewish children, according to Rashi's approach. But even if you follow Tosfos' approach, it's not that simple, as the Yad Ramah points out. The Gemara says that even though the Torah gives the parasha of Yifas Tayr, a person is not entitled to more than one Yifas Tayr per battle. So how did David HaMelech have 400 children Yifas Tayr? He means he had to have gone to 400 wars. And he says, even if you'll say that every time he went to battle, the woman he had relations with had twins, he still would have to go to 200 battles, an incredible number. There's another kasha. We know the pasuk says, "Mia ish hayori v'rach halevav, yelich v'yoshev lebeisoy." That before Klaiso went out to battle, this announcement was made, and the Gemara says, and Rashi quotes in the Chumash, "Hayor v'rach halevav." It doesn't speak to a person who's scared. Hayor v'rach halevav, hayor na'averish shebiyodai. He's worried that he's balavera. The Gemara says, "Afilu soch." And tefillin shayad or tefillin shirosh, that he spoke between putting on tefillin shayad and tefillin shirosh. Those are the people, the biggest tzaddikim, are the ones that went out to battle. And here we're saying, who did he send to battle? The Megadli Blurius, the Bnei Yifas Tayr. Those are the most chashuv people in Klal Yisrael. It's a very difficult Gemara, and there are very many approaches. Just there isn't time for all the approaches. So I'll say one approach, which I think is a nice approach. Avada, these Bnei Yifas Tayr, were not all David HaMelech's children. There were in Klal Yisrael these individuals who were Bnei Yifas Tayr. And David HaMelech, before he would go out to battle, he wanted to break the spirit of the enemy. How did he break the spirit of the enemy? He sent out the Bnei Yifas Tayr, which got the enemy to realize that David HaMelech had already led battles previously and won those battles and had all these Yifas Tayrs under his control. They weren't the ones that were the soldiers. They just were sent out earlier to break the spirit of the enemy. And once you break the spirit of the enemy, you could go further into battle. The Rabbi shot the Mitzvah next time. Continues the Gemara. V'yom Rabbi Yudah Merav, Tamar. Tamar was the daughter of Macha. She was a Bas Yifas Toya Haisa. Macha, the Gemara says, was a Yifas Toya Shnema. The pasuk is, the Gemara now is going to describe the famous episode with Amnon. Macha was David HaMelech's wife. The Gemara is saying now she was Yifas Tayr. Tamar was her daughter. And Avshalom, who we also know about, was a son. Amnon wanted very much to have relations with Tamar. So he came up with an entire plan. His friend Yondav gave him this advice. He should pretend that he was sick and ask his father David to have Tamar come take care of him. And at that point, he could do what he could do. So the pasuk says that after he had relations with Tamar, and the pasuk says at that point, after that, like I once saw from Yosha Ben Soloveitchik, that's always how it is after an avera. Before the avera, person thinks it's great. After the avera, you see it's not that great. So she tells Tamar, tells him, why do it this way? He won't hold you back. Says the Maravisa, if we say that a Yifas Tayr is a full-fledged wife, if we'll say that Macha was a full-fledged wife, so that means the daughter of Macha is David HaMelech's daughter. And she's Amnon's sister, at least the paternal sister. Could they be married? So here we have a very fundamental problem. According to Tosfos, the Gemara makes a lot of sense. Because Tamar was born from that first act that David had with Macha before she was Jewish, and therefore Tamar, their daughter, is not a Jewish girl, and she's not considered Amnon's sister. But according to Rashi, all the Rishonim, the Rashi says that you can't have relations with the Yifas Tayr until she becomes a Geyoris. So Tamar was David's daughter. So how could she suggest to Amnon we could get married? So I saw two answers to the question. One answer was, that even though Macha went through, it's a sort of a controversial answer, that even though Macha went through the entire Giyaris process, she didn't really mean it. She did it because she had to. David HaMelech forced her. And a Giyaris that's not, a Geiris that's undertaken not with sincerity is not a Geiris. And a child is not a Jewish child. One pshat. Another pshat is that Macha was Yifas Tayer, who already had Tamar as a daughter from before. And when she was taken into the palace of David, she came with her daughter, Tamar, who wasn't David HaMelech's daughter at all, and certainly not Amnon's sister. Because as the pasuk now describes the situation, Ul Amnon Reya, Amnon had a friend who Shema Yomdim Ba Shimon Achi David Ishchacham. Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav Ishchacham, he was a wise person, Larusha, to give an advice to do the wrong thing. Don't be upset that you can't have Tamar. Yondav advised him, Shchava Mishkofcha. Pretend that you're sick. Vaschel. Vasil Ene Esabriya. You could do what you want. Vetikacha Misharach. Vetitzak Lefonav. Amr Yehuda Miraf. Shasla Mine Tigun. She prepared for him fried food. Taben Yayad says beautiful pshat here too. Taben Yayad explains as follows. He says, what happened here? Amnon tells David, I'm sick, and I need Tamar to come cook and take care of me. Cook for me, take care of me. David HaMelech had a huge palace. He obviously had a big kitchen with a kitchen staff. He couldn't have food prepared for him in the palace. How did Amnon get away with telling this to David? So he explains. He told David, I'm sick, and what I need to eat is fried food. Now, fried food have the following characteristics. Number one, it has to eat in the hot. Number two, it gets cold very quickly. Because other food, food that's cooked, you could cook it in a pot that's covered. Fried food are fried on an open pot. So it says, I need to eat fried food. I need it to be hot. If it's going to be transported from the kitchen to my apartment or wherever, my room, it's going to get cold. I need it prepared in my room. And that's how he got David to agree to bring Tamar to his room. And after they had the relations, the pasuk says, "V'yisnes Amnon sinne gedoyle ma'oid." Ask the Gemara, "My Tama, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nima Nikshula." As he was having relations with her, a hair from her got caught, v'asa kroshivcha, and tore his aver and made him impotent. Ask the Gemara, "V'chi Nikshula?" If that's what happened, Iyamayavda. So why is she being blamed? Elaima kashulay Nima. She did this to him. She had a hair attached itself to him, vasasa kriv shivcha, and made him into a kriv shivcha. Ask the Gemara, how did she have a hair? Any vadarish rava v'maydik seviyetzel chashem begoyim biyofyech. The pasuk says that Klai Yisrael's women were known for their beauty. Shein lam lebnais Yisrael, Jewish women don't have lois sar beis asachi, hair in the armpit, lois sar beis arva. This was until the Churban. So how did she have a hair there that should cause this to happen to him? Answers the Gemara, Shani Tamar. We can't bring a rye from Tamar because she, we said, wasn't from Jewish birth. She was Bas Yifas Toyer Hava. The question on this Gemara, it's a little hard to discuss, is if the Gemara says that women don't have, Jewish women at least until the Churban didn't have Shtei Saris, we know that the Gemara keeps on teaching us that what is the simon of a Gedoyla? Shtei Saris. How could we ever have a gedolah if there's no saris? So they say, you could tell from the gumis, they did have hair, not many, small hair. It's a little hard to discuss. V'tikach tamar eifa al roisha. V'ksayin sapasim shalak kara. Tanam eshmeni v'shimen kefer. Ged the gadol gadol tamar v'yisha. At that point, Tamar realized something important. Amra, l'b'nois melachim kach. If a daughter of a king could be violated, l'b'nois hajaitis, a regular girl, certainly, alachas kam v'kama. El metznuas kach, if a woman who acts properly still could be so violated, leprutzas alachas kam v'kama, certainly, what could happen to them? Amar Yehuda Miraf, v'ayis Shah, at that point, gozra al yichud v'lapnuya. That a man and a woman should not be secluded alone. Ask the Gemara, yichud d'raisa hu, this yichud is d'raisa. Dom Rav Yochim, Hashem Rav Shimei Yitzadik, remez, Liyichut menatayr menayin. How do you know that Yichud is a nisa deraisa? Because the pasuk says Ki yisischa ichicha ben imecha. Your brother, who is your maternal brother, the pasuk speaks, you have to be concerned, will try to seduce you to do avodah zarah. But the pasuk is a difficult pasuk. V'chi ben emesis, will only a maternal brother do so? Ben av emesis, a paternal brother can't do the same? Eloi melach, to teach us, ben misyachrim imoi, ve'en misyachad im kol harayus shebatayra, which means as follows. A paternal brother means that you have the same father, but not the same mother. You're living in the house with your mother. Your paternal brother can't be in the house, because he can't be in the house together with your mother, his stepmother. It's yichud. So the chances of you being close to your paternal brother are very minimal. A maternal brother, however, you can be in the same house with. And therefore, the chances of you being close with him are greater. We have to be concerned that he may be able to convince you to do the wrong thing. But why? Because only with a mother could somebody be misyachid. With an erev, you can't. So why are the Gemara saying that they made at the time after the episode of Tamar a gzeira on yichud? Yichud exists from the Torah. I'll answer the Gemara. Midaraisa, this yichud is only by an erev. They made a gzeira on a single woman also not having yichud. Says the pasuk, "Vadinoy ben Chagis misnasa lemer anei emlek." He says, "I will be the king. I will be David HaMelech's successor." Amar Yudam Rav, "Me'amit shabikish lahomai v'lahay helmasan." Fantastic Gemara. The crown of the Malchus based David had a stick going through it, going through the circumference. Now, how could you put such a crown on your head? So all the people that are worthy of being Malchus based David had an indentation in their skull. That's how the crown could fit. Adoniah didn't have that indentation, so that was proof that he shouldn't be the Melech. In fact, I saw the pasuk says, "La Yosur Shevet Yehuda." What does it mean, "La Yosur Shevet Yehuda"? Shevet Yehuda has the stick. Shevet means a stick. And Shevet Yehuda's crown is that stick. In fact, the Mepharshim say, on the Zmiris and Shabbos, we say, "Keser Hilumim al Roisham Yotzur." What's Pshat? The Gemara says, "Goyish Shabbos Chayiv Misa." Shabbos is only for Klal Yisrael, not for anyone else. We say, just like Keser Hilumim, just like the crown of the Beis David is only for that family, only people who are worthy of being king can wear the crown, so too, Shabbos is like that Keser. It's only for us, Klal Yisrael, not for anyone else. Continues the Gemara. V'yaslo yirecha proshim, chamishim ish rotzim lefonav. Says the Gemara, that this is a possible way of Shalom, that he had 50 people running in front of him. Says the Mamai Ravus, that was common for nobility. Answers the Gemara, Amar Yudam Rav, kulan netulit chul, they removed their spleen, because the spleen, an overactive spleen, makes a person tired. They didn't want them to be tired, so they took out the spleen. They used to run barefoot. So if you run barefoot and the pavement has pieces on it, it's hard to run. They took off the nerves they shouldn't at the bottom of the feet that they should feel when they run. Says the Mishnah further. A king, the Torah says, can't have too many horses. As much as he needs for his army, for his riding. The Kesef Zabra La Yirmalai, he needs only to give the salary. Continues the Mishnah. The Kaisla Sarah Tara Lishma, he has to write a Sefer Torah. Yaitzl Makama, when he goes out to war, Matsiimai, he takes it with him. Nichtasu Mechnisimai, Yosh Bedin Hi Imai. Question is, how does he sit Bedin? We said that a Melech is not Bedin, the first Mishnah. So I saw a number of Terutzim. One Tara says, Bedin means monetary din Tyrus. Another Pshat is Malchi Beis David. Are allowed to be dayanim. And Abisha Yoshbidin means when he's running the affairs of the country. The Torah says he's not allowed to have too many horses. Even that what he needs for his military. For his own personal use, he may not have too many. He's not allowed to have many horses. even if he has one horse, vubatel, that he doesn't have any real purpose for, shubla yarba, tamalay melahabas sus. Ask the Gemara, v'chi mi'achad as sus echad vubatel, koi bula yarba, even one extra sus, one extra horse. He has a lav, susim lamali. What does the Torah write the word susim? Lav abalai sasai, akal sus v'sus. That for every extra horse, there's an extra lav. Tam de kos rachman aloi, halav alchi avamina fil kadei korok by ufrosh of nami. Says the Gemara aloi, letzrich lafushi. What it means is, having extra is osur, but for the army it's mutter. Very fundamental question. What is the isser in having too many horses? Is the isser the purchasing of the horses? Because as we're going to learn later in the Gemara, they used to have to go to Egypt to buy the horses. Or is the isser having the horses? What would be the nafkamina? Two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is if he already has them. Does he have to get rid of them? Another nafkamina is this a pasuk only for the king or for everybody? Continues the Gemara. The kasev zav lo yerba el kedei l'tein asfanya. Tarabonin, the kasev zav lo yerba loy yochal fi kitein l'tein asfanya. He shouldn't have enough money to pay his military. Tamaloy meloy loy ein amarba av amarbu kedei l'tein asfanya. Tama again the kasev rachman loy halav achi have a mina fil kedei l'tein asfanya nami loy. How can we ever have him, you know, that he shouldn't be able to pay his army? It says Gemara, "Halotzricha larvocha." What it means is, what the pasuk is teaching us is that he can't have extra to just for no need. It says the Gemara, here too, there's a machlokes rishonim. What is the isser in having too much money? Is the isser the having the money, or the isser the collection of taxes? That the Torah is telling us, you have to tax. You should only tax as much as you need. Ask the Gemara, Hash the Amrit Loy Ladrasha, Loyabi Loy Nashim, my Darishbay. And says the Gemara Limuti Hejaitis. To teach us, a Hejit, not a Gmelech, can have more than 18 wives. Review the Rami. Ksivi Hila Shlema, Aboim Elef Arvay Susil Merkaftai. 40,000. Yet there's another Pasik, says Vihila Shlema Abbas Alefim, Susil 4,000. So there's 4,000 or 40,000. Okay, it said, says the Gemara, Im Aboim Elef Atzdabloy Soyoloi, if he had 40,000 bonds, Kol Echad Echad Hoy Boy Dalet Alofim Arba Susim, had 4,000 horses in them. Vim Dalet at Lofim Atzdabloy Soyo, if there were 4,000 bonds, Kol Echad Echad Hoy Boy Aboim Elef Arba Susim, each one of them had 40,000 horses in them. Let's continue the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Rami. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Ein kesef nechshav yimei Shlema l'muma. Then the time of Shlema, money was meaningless. The ksiv yitei Shlema is a kesef yishalayim bavonim. It was like stone. It wasn't totally meaningless. And says the Gemara loy kasha. Kan kodim shenosh Shlema is bas paroi. Before he married bas paroi, as the Mashal explains, money was meaningless to him. He spent his life learning Torah. Kalach shnas shlemis bas paroi, their money became something by him, and he, not that much, but it was something. Amar Yitzchak, b'shal shnas shlemis bas paroi, at the point that Shlomo Melech married bas paroi, yored Gavriel, v'nots kana b'yom, he put a stick in the ocean, v'hel is certain, and then earth started forming around that stick, v'ol of nivne krach god l'shibaroimi. That's where Rome was built. So the Mepharshim explain. Mashal begins with explaining. He says that the Bas Paroi showed Shlomo HaMelech all different types of musical instruments that were used in the worship of Avodah Zarah. And because of a punishment for that, that's where Rome, which represents Avodah Zarah, was built. However, the Mepharshim point out, beautiful. The Mepharshim point out, look how Rome was built. It was built in the most flimsy way, a stick in the ocean, to say even though Rome represents Edom, our oppressors, they really don't have a foundation to stand on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy them. Another beautiful vart from the Rebbe of Heschel. He says that Yaakov Avinu gave Yitzchak a bracha. Yitzchak gave Yaakov a bracha that I'll have Mishmanei Aretz. Then he gives Yitzchak Esav a bracha Mishmanei Aretz Yemeshvecha. So how could he give Esav Mishmanei Aretz? He already gave it to Yitzchak. So if you look in Rashi in the Chumash, by Esav it says Mishmanei Aretz through a Talyul Shayavin. What's Rashi teaching us? All the Shmanei Aretz that existed in the world, Yitzchak gave to Yaakov. However, Yavin, Italian Yavin, didn't exist. Because our Gemara says that it only came later. So that he could give to Esav. Continues the Gemara. But Amar Yitzchak, what does the Torah usually give its reasons for the mitzvahs? Says the Gemara, Shashtayim cross Nizgalu Tamam. There are two places where the Torah gave us the reason. And Nichshvan Kain Gavu Oilam. Ksiv Lo Yar B'Loi Noshim. Amar Shalom Ani Erba V'Loi Osir. I won't go back to Mitzrayim. The Torah thought, the Aruch Lener explains, that he won't fall into the trap, but he did. So Mepharshim explained, the Meiri says, the Torah gives reasons. The Torah gives a reason by the Gid Anosha. The Torah gives a reason by Sukkah. Says the Meiri, the Torah gives a reason for what was, not for what will be. Dimri Emes asks Gevalda Gekasha. So the Torah says, you're not allowed to take Shaychet, because Shaychet Yavein Chachamim. So the Torah gives a reason. Says Dimri Emes, it's not a reason, it's a fact. If somebody takes bribes, no matter how great he is, it will influence him. He also asks, the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman, that it's going to cause your children to leave Hashem. So why, again, we're saying the Torah doesn't give reasons. So it says, it's different. Here, the Shlomo Melech thought he was about himself. There, it's about your children. Nobody can be sure about their children. The Kaiser Sefer Lishma, Tana, Uvat Shlomo Yisnael B'Shal Avaisav. The Melech should not rely on the Sefer Torah of his parents. And says the Gemara, everybody, Abi Shenichal Avaisav, Odom Sefer Torah, even though a person's parents left him a Sefer Torah, Mitzvah Lichta Mishalai, Shnema, Vata Kislucham Seshira. Eisve Baya, The Mishnah says, the Kaisloi Sefer Torah Lishmoi, Shlayot B'Shal Achayrim, so it seems Melech in Hedjit Loi, it's only a rule for Melech, not for Hedjit, and it says, the Gemara Loi Tzrich L'Shtei Torahs, a Melech requires two Torahs, Getanya, the Kaisloi Mishnah, Shkais L'Shma, Shtei Torahs, the Melech supposed to write two Torahs, Achash Yoytzev Nechneses Imai, one that he goes everywhere with, V'achash Menichle V'Beis Genozov. Also, says the Gemara, the one that he always carried, which was a small Sefer Torah, according to many Rishonim, some Rishonim say it only was Sefer Dvarim, some say it was only Daseres Adibris, and in Nichlas Ba'loy Lebeis HaMechetz, Ba'loy Lebeis HaKisei. Shnev Ahayi Imai V'Kar, Makam HaRoy Likris Ba. Only in a place where he could read the Sefer Torah, may he take the Sefer Torah with him. Interesting, based on this Gemara, the Gemara says a person can't rely on his father's Sefer Torah. Why? Why can't you rely on the father's Sefer Torah? So the Mepharshim explained, because the Torah is teaching us that everybody has their own obligation to learn. Says the Rosh, based on this Gemara, interesting Rosh, the Rosh says that nowadays when Mekai Mitzvahs Ksiva Sefer Torah, we're buying Sfarim. And part of the Rosh's reasoning is our Gemara, because the whole point of buying a Sefer Torah is just that you should be able to learn. So now we primarily don't learn from a Sefer Torah. That's why we should learn from, we should buy Sfarim. Machlok is Prisha and Drisha, how to understand the Rosh. Does the Rosh mean that you're supposed to buy Sfarim besides a Sefer Torah? Or does the Rosh mean a Sefer Sfarim instead of a Sefer Torah? Furthermore, the Shagas Arya gives another reason why we don't have to be careful in buying a Sefer Torah nowadays. Because he says all of our Sefer Torah we're not sure are proper, because we're not sure about the exact spelling of all the words of the Sefer Torah. Just to end the shiur with a very interesting shaila. Now the Rosh is saying that you're supposed to buy Sfarim. So I saw Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses the following shaila. That somebody has a library of Sfarim. But who could have all the Sfarim that he needs? But nowadays, we have computer program. You could buy a computer program with all the Sfarim. But it's expensive. So the question is, could one sell his Sfarim in order to buy that computer program? So he quotes about Machlokes. He says, according to Ramosha, he may, according to Rabbi Yosef, he may not.